This is the Mason Vera Payne Show, your go-to lifestyle program, covering everything from technology and gaming to movies, TV shows, and pop culture to the supernatural and beyond. Brought to you by WGNRadio.com with your host, the unabridged millennial, Mason Vera Payne.
Mason Vera Payne here, live from the MVP studios in Chicago, and thank you for tuning in. Invin Global Esports reporter Nick Geraci is going to join me to talk about Yumi, MSI recap, and also what we can expect in patch 9.11. Thanks for joining me, Nick.
Glad to be here. Thanks for having me back again.
I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing it right. Is it Yumi or Yuyumi?
I've heard so many things. I've heard people call it Yummy. I believe the correct pronunciation is Yumi.
It is Yumi. Okay, because I was watching some recaps on YouTube, and a couple of YouTubers were saying Yuyumi. And I'm like, is that like a Japanese thing? I don't know, because like Yasuo? Is it Yuyumi? I don't know.
I don't think so. This happens when we have champions with different names come out a lot, or even in over and Overwatch, people didn't know how to pronounce Brigitte for a very long time.
Like Bridget.
Exactly.
But Yumi's been out for a while. What do you think of her now? Do you think she needs some reworks?
I've actually had more of a chance to kind of, you know, be a part of the actual Yumi experience, and there isn't really a champion like her. She definitely needs some tweaks, and I think it's going to be because of how unique she is. She's going to bring certain things into the game that previously were not optimal. She's going to changing the way the game is played when she's in the game, because she's just basically a hyper-enabler. She attaches to somebody else and buffs them up, right? So I think that we will need to see some hot fixes, and I think it's to be expected with like the vast amount of champions in the game. I don't think she's extremely broken, but I also think that we haven't really seen any professional players really utilize her yet, and so I think when we get that chance, then we might really kind of have a better idea. As of right now, I think it really is, it's very dependent on the specific composition you're playing with her, but yeah, she will need some hot fixes, and she is getting some in the next patch, which we'll talk about later.
Now, one of the most annoying things for me is that a lot of people are just auto-locking her, so when people do that, I'm just like, I'm already have like a really bad distaste for it, but then I kind of want there to be an option to detach her from your shoulder. Did you get that too? Like, you want to just get her off like she's a leech?
I mean, it is nice to have, you know, the heal and the shield and everything, but I do, like, I don't really tend to play champions that I think benefit a ton from Yumi. I think originally was, I'm not entirely sure, but really seemed to be the type of thing to be able to enable these, like, DPS hyper carry style champions like Jinx, that kind of thing. But I also think that she will do really well on, like, you know, bruisers and divers, like stuff like Aurelia and even Akali, kind of these slightly durable champions that might need a little bit more mobility to come out and dish out that damage up close and, you know, stay alive longer under towers.
So when it comes to Yumi, what do you think would be the best spec then?
Your primary is going to be sorcery. I've seen people go Comet, seen people go Summon Airy. You're going to need that just for, like, you know, the general lane presence and mana, since you're, you know, constantly just essentially, for the most part, enchanting your partner. You do have your ultimate, but still, I mean, the reason that you're playing this champion is for the unique aspects of her kit, right? So I think that you're going to kind of see her spec like a Sona support or something along those lines. You're going to have the sorcery primary and then either like the inspiration secondary, something that gives her a lot of utility, because, you know, on her own, when she's not, you know, able to jump inside somebody, she's very, very squishy and very weak. So we could also see maybe potentially even some resolve secondary for some extra durability in the early laning phase against some more hyper aggressive lanes.
Now, an MSI recap. Were you surprised when G2 beat Team Liquid?
I wouldn't say it's not surprising. I just expected it either way to be a little bit closer. I think both teams displayed different strengths throughout the tournament. Obviously, G2, even before the finals, was looking like the better team, but Team Liquid's dismantling of Invictus Gaming was pretty impressive. That being said, I didn't expect a 3-0, but I think that if you look at the way that G2 plays the game, it is the optimal play style right now. You don't want to go for this slow-paced, sort of methodical, controlled ramping up style as much. You want to fight, and G2 is so good at that. They have so many flex picks in the draft phase. They're the most innovative team that we've seen in years. So I think that they definitely came into the match favored, but they absolutely walloped Team Liquid, and I think that sweep was definitely an unexpected outcome.
Now, how far have Western teams come compared to, like, in the past?
There's a couple different things that go into this. Not to take anything at all away from the Western teams, but first of all, I want to add that caveat, but the optimal style of play has shifted from, you know, with the changes to Vision, we have a lot less wards in the game than we used to, and a lot more rewarding towards early game aggression. The game is a little more individually focused, and Korean teams were so good at that, you know, just five-player, like, team fight control style. I think that their team synergy advantages are minimized in this current landscape of competitive League of Legends. So I think what Western teams do really well right now is their respective leagues in the West, the North America's LCS and Europe's LEC have, you know, grown and franchised. We're going to have better infrastructure. We're going to have better players. As anything grows, you're going to see that. And, you know, guys like Caps are right up there in terms of individual skill with, like, Faker. Like, no joke, you know? And I think that the fact that the metagame lends itself to those individual, like, sort of flexing moments to really, really matter a lot more than they used to is extremely good for these teams who can match up to like, the Korean teams or the Chinese teams and the talent, right? In addition to that, the West has, especially this year, really, really brought up the innovation game. We saw multiple Sonoteric bans, regardless of how good you think the strategies are or not. That's a free ban. That's great. That's definitely something that we saw. And like I said before, G2 able to flex so many champions into so many different roles. That was such a strength for them because it was very hard. They could keep people guessing, play these unfamiliar matchups, and then use their superior individual skill to win in matchups they know better than their opponents.
Now, I know Team Liquid said at the beginning of the season that the reason they got Jensen was for his international play, and I thought that was a bit surprising because C9 had him for so long, and they even benched him for a little bit. Do you think they regret trading him?
Cloud9 is the type of organization, they want to empower their players to make the choices they want to. I've never heard of Cloud9 stopping a player from leaving or, you know, anything along those lines. And, obviously it looks right now, it's like, oh man, I wish we had that guy, right? Of course, you know. There's something to be said that, you know, I think that this is a place that Jensen also wanted to be. Yes, Team Liquid wanted Jensen for international play, but Jensen had never gotten LCS title. And Cloud9's move is kind of to be a good team hovering around the top, but they haven't won an LCS title in years. Almost 4 years. Actually, yeah, 4 years now. You know, they do great internationally, and that's great, but I think that Jensen kind of wanted that domestic title, and Team Liquid, who had domestic success, really had kind of faltered individually, and picking up Jensen and also Core JJ, two historically very clutch international players, I think that did really pay off for them. Jensen, while he started off the tournament, MSI a little shaky, I thought he performed very well in their series against Invictus Gaming, against Rookie, arguably the best mid laner in the world right now. This is an incredible mid lane talent pool we had at MSI as well. I mean, Rookie, Caps, Faker, just right there off the bat. You know, so I think that obviously this kind of stinks for Cloud9, but I think Cloud9 trusts their system. I think Niski's a good player. He's a young player. He can also be molded. I would say that Jensen, no matter how good he was, didn't exactly stylistically fit into the way that Cloud9 wants to play the game in this iteration. They are very focused around topside and playing around Licorice, and I think that Niski is, in the long term, a better fit for that. But right now, yeah, obviously, you know, Team Liquid looking very solid and should be kind of considered the favorite heading into the summer split for LCS.
Speaking of summer split, when does it start?
Summer split starts Saturday, June 1st. A little bit over a week from now.
Yeah, I can't wait. I like Summer Split more than MSI. I don't know why.
I really like MSI, but Spring Split, like, it's always really fun at the beginning because it's like, yay, League is back, you know, right? But I think there's a thing to be said for, as the season goes on, League of Legends is a long season, and not that any players or teams are not trying in spring, but these teams just formed now. They're still developing synergy. They're still ironing out the kinks and how they play both as individuals, but also as a unit. And Summer Split, we kind of really see, like, who's here to prove themselves, who's going to get their worlds. There seems to be more on the line. And so I'm very, very excited. I think that, you know, Team Liquid is coming back. Yes, they got destroyed by G2 in the final, but they made the final. Like they had a fantastic performance and have nothing to be ashamed of. But in addition, that's exciting because TSM played them close in the LCS finals for spring in St. Louis. Like, TSM is going to be looking for revenge. Cloud9, obviously, probably didn't like the way their spring ended. So I think, like, what's also really exciting is that now that we kind of know that there is a potential, you know, for regional strength to come out of North America and, you know, succeed on the international stage, we're going to see some really, really exciting, intense games here right in the summer split, because people are going to be going after Team Liquid after that success. And when the top team in a region does that well, it will make the other teams better. It just does. So I think we're going to see a very, very, very exciting summer split. And I hope that teams have learned from watching MSI, and because Team Liquid, yes, they played more aggressively, but they weren't on that same level as, you know, Invictus Gaming. Yes, they beat, but G2 and Invictus Gaming, they really play the game kind of the quote-unquote right way, almost, in what they're going for with the early game strategies. And I'm really interested to see how North America will respond to that, whether they will kind of double down on finding their own identity, or if they're going to just go all out on fighting and kind of try to match that level of aggression that we saw from the other teams.
So if you were a betting man, who do you think would come out on top for the summer split?
Team Liquid has to be the choice. I think that that's not going to change anytime soon, frankly. And that's not to be said that we can't, you know, be excited for Cloud9, an international event. I think TSM is a young squad who is very, very promising. I think they do a lot of things the right way from a conventional perspective in League of Legends. And I previously sort of saw TSM as an org kind of stuck in their old ways. TSM was the most aggressive, like, early game team we had in spring. You know, that's why they beat Team Liquid. They beat Team Liquid both times in the regular split because they had no problem getting in their face. And so I think that that's going to be very exciting. But it's really, really hard for me to bet against Team Liquid coming off the international final. Like we said before, they've already won 3 domestic championships in a row. And this last one, while TSM fought them hard, I mean, their roster is just star-studded. If I'm putting any amount of money on the line, I have to put it on Team Liquid here.
You hit it here. We got to all put money on Team Liquid.
Yeah, buy your stock now for sure.
For this upcoming patch, 9.11, are there any, like, really big changes we should be expecting?
They made a lot of changes, which I'm glad. I was hoping that, you know, after international events like MSI, there's a good opportunity to see how the best players in the world across all these different regions play the game. And I think it's a very unique opportunity for the Balanced team to have a really, like, keen understanding of what can make the game more diverse and more interesting. Specifically with Joshua Jat Leesman heading the Balanced team now, you know, who used to be a color caster and an analyst, we really are seeing some things that I think are going to change the way competitive play is played a little bit. The first thing I'm very happy about is that Akali is getting nerfed, which just needs to happen. She's an absolute monster. She can be played mid or top. She has a get out of jail free card with her shroud. She has good scaling, insane mobility, like just an absolutely just bonkers champion. So I think, I don't even know if this is going to be enough to, like, really to put her, like, anywhere down, because she's already been nerfed a couple times, but I think that something needs to change. They're doing some changes to Akali for sure. Galio, who's been a mainstay in the meta for a long time, even after his nerf very early this year, he went kind of, instead of being a mid laner, he just became a really good, like, top tier support, right? So I think that with they're adjusting the damage on his Shield of Duran, his W and his Justice Punch, which is pretty much his 1-2 combo as a support, I think that while that won't stop his being played in the support role, will make his pretty much unstoppable. Like, he can just flash W, taunt you, and then run into you with his Justice Punch. Like, that's already really unforgiving as it is. He doesn't need to do a ton of damage off of that. You know what I mean? So I think that that's definitely going to be a good thing. And I think that we may see, what I'm hoping is see some more range supports, maybe try to come back into the meta and sort of poke these tanks out with less fear of these really strong early game trades from the high base stats of the tanks. We also have some buffs to Gragas, which I think is good. One of just the perennial competitive junglers for some years now. And we have a lot of good Gragas players in North America specifically. So I think that's going to be a lot of fun. He got base HP increase, HP per level, and also his base AD, which, you know, it's only going to make his clear even better in the early game to kind of match some of these AD junglers, or, you know, the Jarvan, the Rek'Sai. This should put him more up towards that echelon, which I think is good, because we don't really have, like, top-tier magic damage junglers right now. So I think that's going to be interesting. I mentioned range supports a little bit ago. Janna got some changes. I'm hesitant to call them buffs, but she got some changes. Her Eye of the Storm now will, their cooldown will be reduced on her shield if she knocks up or slows the champion, so it goes directly into the rest of her kit, because she has the Tornado for knockup, and she has the Zephyr for the W, which slows. I'm hoping that we're going to see some more diverse play, and North America has loved their range supports for some time, so I think that we might see some Janna in the right situations, especially if, like, something like, if they're going for a Yuumi and that's banned out, we might see a lot of Janna. Jace has been ruling the top lane meta for so long. He got some nerfs to his Shock Blast, which is good. He does so much damage that Bruiser doesn't need to be chunking my HP from, like, half a screen away. In addition to that, Karthus also got some nerfs to his ultimate, because once that hits late game, it's just absolutely unstoppable. And Master Yi got nerfs, which is great, because that's one of the main things we've seen kind of terrorizing solo queue with Yuumi. You know, Yuumi just kind of hops in his backpack, and he's already kind of a one-man army champ, and she can just sometimes make him unstoppable in certain situations, especially at the lower elo. We had Rammus nerfs, which I thought was kind of random, just a little bit of damage on his ultimate. There's these little changes, you know, like Warwick got a tiny buff for his healing on his Q. The meat and potatoes of the patch are Yuumi hot fixes, which, you know, we have a base mana regen increase and a passive mana restore increase, a shield increase. Pretty much, like, she's getting increases across the majority of her kit, which is to make her more of an enabler, but right now I think they're not happy with how much of a game changer her ultimate is in addition to everything else she can do. So the multi-hit damage reduction was decreased to 50% from 60%, so I think what they're going to need to do is, you know, just like any champion with such a unique kit, you're really going to you need to have a lot of time balancing it, and also how it interacts with these other champions, like, you know, like Master Yi or something like that, right? Yumi is so unique in the way that, you know, you don't want to take Flash on her. That's frankly redundant. You want to take like Heal and Ignite or something like that. Like, you want to go full combat because you're not going to need a Flash. You're going to be like inside of somebody for the entire time. And you know, you don't, for that same reason, you don't really need boots. So it's really, really exciting, you know, to have, you know, a brand new sort of innovative, you know, champion style in the game that really kind of turns the Enchantress knob to 11. Like, I thought that Lulu and Janna was the furthest we could get, but this is even further, right? So I think that's really interesting, but I also think that, you know, that's going to require a ton of adjustments. And lastly, Zac got some changes too. Another Runic Echoes potential AP jungler has a fantastic kit for ganking mid lane, which I would like to see some more of. We've seen mostly play towards the side lane in 2019. Not that that's necessarily a bad thing, but mid lane has essentially been more of kind of a facilitator. Champions like Lissandra, you know, these team fight sort of control style champions, unless you're like playing an incredibly broken assassin like Akali or something like that. So I'm hoping that with these changes, we still see the fast fighting and the aggression and, you know, that really exciting play style in League of Legends. But I think it'd be nice to, you know, have a more of a smooth, more diverse style of play throughout the game and kind of give some more options back to these other champions who've kind of fallen out of the meta.
Well, Nick, thank you so much for joining me. I really appreciate you being here. For those listening, where can they find more information about you?
You can follow me on Twitter at Nick Geraci, and I also have an author page on Invent Global, which is the website that I write for. And we're also be doing some kind of esports conference at University of California, Irvine on Tuesday, June 4th. I'm going to have a ton of different speakers from all over the esports industry, some of the biggest influencers in the space in esports and gaming. So that's kind of what I'm up to. And so if you want to keep up with any of that good stuff, feel free to follow me on my social channel.
This has been the Mason Vera Payne Show. Thanks for listening. Can't wait to hear more? Subscribe, rate, and comment at masonverapaine.com. That's MasonVeraPaine.com. Also, follow Mason on Facebook and Twitter at Mason Vera Payne. That's all one word. And don't forget to share the show with your friends.